It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to this Monday edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Back in the saddle today and excited as I head back into town, and what's the first thing I see is a nice tweet from my old buddy Rivs. It says, "Buckle up, Buttercup." Taking off the shot collar, which, if you can believe it, the guy's had a shot collar on, and to go along with the three cans of Red Bull we go through. But happy to be back and interested. What's got your ire up here today, sir?
Well, I'm just let's bring Kimby in first. It's good to have the whole gang back together here.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a couple weeks, I think, that it's been one or two or none or whatever, and we've made do, but I think people are going to be happy that we're all together.
It's hard carrying a show when you got old Sleepy over there comes in with a shitty attitude all the time.
Fuck,
you know?
Does he ever? He came in like he just ate someone's fart. Hey? Fucking guy came in here, and I say, like, holy shit.
It's a week in Dallas, so nothing but beer drinking.
Now, wait, let's talk about Dallas real quick. So, rumor has it, okay?
Here we go.
That
there's no rumors.
I'm just going to say it's a rumor until you confirm it.
All right.
Rumor has it that you're afraid to fly, so you took the fucking steam train down there.
Yeah. Not a steam train.
No, no. I heard it took like 2 days to get there.
No.
So, okay. So why are you afraid to fly for?
I don't know. I just don't like it.
Do you know that I bet you the train problems that we have are almost, the percentage probably as high as fucking planes.
Probably higher.
Probably higher. There we go.
Oh, I'm assuming. Kimby
with a bold statement.
Percentage-wise, for as much as they go.
But I'm assuming it is, yeah.
Because I watch those guys that throw those throw things on the tracks there to take those trains off the rails.
Yeah.
So I see that stuff.
Yeah, it's probably got something to do with
how long was that
a
trip?
Closer to the ground.
Yeah, how long?
14 hours, maybe.
Holy shit.
It was through the night, so I slept. You know, I had my own car.
Your own car.
Big time. Oh, wow. Big time in the train system, eh? Look at this guy go.
The old conductor.
Oh, shit. Yeah. He doesn't tell us that every
conjunction,
5 minutes he had to throw
conjunction,
coal in
junction.
There.
Remember old Conjunction Junction?
Oh, my God.
No, it was good, man. I don't like to fly. And I was going to drive, and then
did they think you were Mr. Ed and you had put your head out the caboose there?
No. I ain't got the head you got over there.
Oh, wow. Firing lasers.
I'm normal sized head.
Wow.
Now, adequately sized.
On the train to Dallas, what other weirdos beside you are on that kind of a thing?
You know what? I have no idea. I'm not kidding you. I had my own room. I get on the train. Guy says, "Your room's up there. Turn left." I turn left. I went in my room.
You had a room?
Yeah, I never even
came out. How do you get a room? Do you go online and say, "I want a room"?
I don't know. The lovely assistant here, I said, "Hey, I need a train down there, and I want my own room."
A train. Big she was train. Like, it's not 1930.
A train.
Yeah,
I wonder what train you were on, really.
Oh, my goodness.
And then on the way back, same
thing. Might have been a train
got
going on in the train.
Fucking train wreck. Yeah.
Someone pulled the train on you.
Little tunnel driving.
That was nice. I mean, you know, you take anything you want in there with you, you're good.
Oh, caboose time.
Did you treat yourself like a gentleman while in the room by yourself?
Jesus. Negative.
Hey?
Negative.
Little candlelight, soft music.
Probably peeking around. Anyone
negative.
Looking?
He was like
negative.
Buying himself drinks.
Negative.
Throwing out his best lines.
A little pup tit.
Oh, yeah. You just take a little whiskey in there with you.
Oh, whiskey.
Of course you did then.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
Sip a little whiskey so you
now,
sleep good on the train.
Biggest question, did you sit on your hand till it fell asleep?
No.
Pretend it's someone else then?
I don't know. Well.
It's called the sleeper.
A little Woodford on ice. Watch some Netflix.
All right. Well,
that was good. A lot of fun.
Just because you came in like it was so great. Like you came in with that fucking shitty look on your face.
Tired, man. That's
tired.
A week.
I told you I've been up since
every night.
I've been up since 3 a.m.
What were you doing down there?
It's the National Coaches Convention for baseball.
Oh,
it's like
that would be the biggest problem. I'm pretty sure.
It's mad.
Bunch
like
a lion motherfuckers probably down there.
Wow.
Huge. So yeah, no, just a big thing and just. Lots of stuff that turns into like 2, 3 in the morning out drinking in Dallas.
So you guys are talking about baseball at 3 in the morning? That's pretty good.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean, you know.
I'm sure expecting some really big changes.
Pretty sure that's what that phone call was going back home. yeah, we're up here we're talking baseball.
I will say, though. I will say, you know, because you obviously, you know, you Uber everywhere and do all this kind of stuff. And I mean, Dallas is Dallas, right?
So Ottawa Uber.
Let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Just amazing that, you know, Saturday, the amount of people in Cowboys jerseys and
God, don't do that. That makes Kimby horny.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you can't like I remember when the Rams were flying around here and it was great. It's not even like you can't even compare it. Like it was insane. Everywhere we went, everybody like the
Uber
you're
right
drivers,
in the heart of the whole thing there,
it's
dude.
It's crazy.
Think about Dallas. They're all blondes in boots, is what they are.
Oh, they say boobs.
They might have that thing.
I was like, wow.
Blondes and boots.
Anyway, so, yeah, no, but through modern technology, was able to, still watch the Blues games while I was
That's probably what fucked you up right there.
Yeah, well.
That's why he's got that look on his face today. Well, that's. I was just going to tell you, you really didn't miss anything. It's been fucking Groundhog Day, really.
Same shit, different day.
And that's kind of where I got off the rails a little bit. And our buddy Joe Lizito there up in Long Island.
He's excited.
He kind of poked the bear a little bit, and then Kimby, of course, fucking piles on calling me a wussy.
Oh.
And I'm not going to disagree. I've kind of held back because I've tried to be Peter positive, and everybody, I think everybody would know that I have a little bit of a relationship with the players and you know, used to be the coach and things like that. So it's a little more difficult sometimes to take the shock collar off. And I don't know. Today's just a day where I think it should be aired out. We're at the halfway point of the season. We're 38 games. So we're four games shy of the actual halfway point, or three games. My math is not as good as I thought. But I just think that there's a few things that have to be gone over here. And we can just kind of ping these off here. We can go quick fire on some of these. But the biggest thing I'm noticing out of this team as a whole is when Doug Armstrong put this team together, a couple of mistakes that were made. One was, I think he panicked a little bit, meaning that he signed Bozak really quickly for a good chunk of change, and I think he's probably regretting that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like Bozak. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a hell of a hockey player, but he's not, what, $4 or $5 million a year?
No.
That's not what you get. Like, you're not getting 6 goals. Like, fucking Ryan Reeves has 8 goals right now. You know, and I know we talk about Revo all the time, but I'm just saying, like, Revo's a fourth liner in Vegas. He's got 8 goals. Yep. And our $5 million guy has got.
Yeah, but he had fourth liner, though, Riz. And I'm not cutting out real quick. He played 13 fucking minutes last night. So he's not. That's a fucking great fucking. That's pretty good minutes for him.
No, it's great minutes. Trust me, my slight here is not to Ryan Reeves.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, but when you say fourth liner, but that's where I think he's jumped. You know, he plays more minutes than when he's fucking playing here in the Blues, too. So.
Okay, let's say he's a third liner.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get Buck Wild here.
Yeah.
He's a third liner. He's still got 8 goals, and he's only making, what, 1.5?
For sure.
1.8 maybe? Yeah. I don't know, something like that. Maybe he's making more, and I hope he is. I hope he's cashing.
No, you're right. I think you're right.
But so that, to me, is the first mistake made, is we jumped the gun because I don't think – and maybe it's not a mistake because I don't think he knew he was going to get Ryan O'Reilly. And if you don't get Ryan O'Reilly and you don't get Tyler Bozak, then you're really looking at a weak middle of the ice again. So, you know, I'll hold back a little bit – of the acid on that comment.
Didn't he get O'Reilly first?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, no.
Signed Bozak and Perron. Okay. I think it was Bozak first, or was it Perron first? Oh, yeah. I don't fucking know.
It doesn't matter.
Perron's not a centerman. So, yep. But he signed those two, and I'm okay with the Perron signing. I know you had your issues, but I think he's what, if we pull up the score, fucking Cromer's back the computer. I forgot he doesn't fucking do shit.
No, I'm on her.
If we pull up the scoring, I think Perron is like second or third.
That wouldn't be fucking hard in this team right now, though.
I understand that, but he still is there.
But he plays a lot.
You know, there's lots of other guys that could be there that we're going to get to that aren't.
But he sits out in the fucking stands once in a while, too. They got to pull his fucking shit back.
Yeah, but the guys that fucking should be sitting in the stands aren't.
Oh, I know. I'm not disagreeing with you. So that's where we're starting at, though.
Yeah, we're starting with, you know, like, the acquisitions in the offseason.
You should be a third-line fucking player on your team if you're going to do anything.
Totally. And, you know, Bozak shouldn't even be on this team.
No.
And I'm not saying he shouldn't be in the NHL. I'm just saying if you go back in time, hindsight 2020, if you can trade for Ryan O'Reilly, you don't. I guarantee he doesn't sign Bozek.
Yeah.
Because that's just kind of overkill, in my opinion. So, you know, Bozek to me is underachieving, although I don't know if he is, because last year in Toronto, he really didn't do all that much either.
No.
So, what do we got, Chromes?
Perron, second on the team, 28 points. You know, Bozak, 18 points. You know, sitting, well, one, two, three, four, fifth on the team. I mean.
How much? What does Bozak get?
18 points.
Which isn't terrible. No. However,
for a third
you're paying
center.
Him $5 million yeah. a year, I believe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Sure.
So, anyways, we're Perron and Bozak. It is what it is. We'll move on right now. Our good buddy, and unfortunately, things aren't working well for Patty Maroon. Mm-hmm. They're not working well. You know, he's not getting the point production that he wanted, that the team wanted. A lot of times he doesn't look like he's keeping up to the play as much as he should be.
I told you earlier, and then you thought I was crazy, and then all of a sudden he sat for a couple games. They said his back was bothering him. He still looks to me like
it
wasn't. Right.
It was never his back. It was his ribs. And he had a little bit of a knee issue there. But he said in his article with Jeremy Rutherford that I just read last night that he's 100% okay.
Does he look okay to you, though? I mean, come on. You're the
No, he doesn't. That's why he's on my list on the right. on the left side.
But I don't even mean his performance. I mean, I'm saying, does he look healthy to you? Listen, I know he's not a burner, and I know he's not Connor McDavid, but I watch that guy play a lot of hockey. On TV, because I mean, I liked him.
But you watched him play fucking hockey with Connor McDavid.
It doesn't matter. I'm talking about the
rate of
matter.
No. I'm not talking about the production. I'm talking about the way he moves. Like, he looks to me like a guy that can't even bend over. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't even see him. Like,
my thing with him is because I think he's at the point right now where you've gone from being on top of the fucking world playing with one, if not, you know, it's a question mark with me is it was Sid always there.
Sure.
But so he's a top three fucking player in the world. And now you're down here, and it hasn't been on to start like you said, Ribs. It hasn't gone, you know, according to plan.
No.
And you know, and the, not just him, the fucking whole team. There's a slow. It's a slow.
No, I mean that's what we're doing here today. We're gonna get this. So yeah, you know, but he's one of the ones that unfortunately has been.
He needs a Connor McDavid to make him look fucking good right now. Unfortunately, I'm not trying to be an asshole. I'm just that's
no, no. Hey, look, if we're gonna be honest, we have to be honest. Yeah. And I think Patty himself would to tell you that he agrees with what we're saying. Now, I think before we go into the players more. The makeup of the team, I think, is where it starts. And that's what went through my head initially with this whole thing is if you look at our team, and last night just for fun, I was like, let's take each individual off our team. They're pretty good players. You're like, you know what? I'd like this guy on my team. I'd like this guy on my team. But when you put them all together, we're far too slow mm-hmm. as a hockey club. And that's where we don't have the varying – player speeds, right? Like some teams have a line that's fast, a line that's grinding, two guys that are fast on the line, one guy that isn't. We have all of the same exact player. Realistically, that's what we have. You know, if you took you could take any one of our players at any given time, and Ryan O'Reilly will exclude him. Tarasenko, we'll get to him in a little bit, but he, you know, throw him in the fucking pile too. And you have the exact same player. Kind of, sort of fast, talented, good players, but not dynamic. And so, therefore, we have a group of guys that are kind of, sort of, in the speed. And now that's what, when the league that's all about speed, this is why we're in this position. So each player individually isn't a bad player. Together, combined, it's a bad mix. I mean, am I way off with that?
Who said that at the start of the year? Who said that?
Well, it wasn't fucking Cromer.
With Darren Kimball.
Oh, he's claiming that because he knows I can't remember
Chrome,
shit. So.
Is that true? The
you
makeup
did
of this
say
fucking
it.
Outfit and the makeup of this outfit, and I go back and it goes right
no,
to
but
me.
You were more on the, it goes we to, need a fourth line. You didn't say about speed.
No, I we need, the makeup is, basically what I was saying is we don't have the fucking guys to go in and, you're right on speed. I'll give you the speed, but we don't have the other fucking mucking grinding kind of shit too. I don't care what you say.
You know, it is coming to my memory now. You did say that we don't have, you know, we have a lot of the players that are the same.
Yeah,
we don't have
a vanilla fucking team.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'll give you that. Fuck, yeah. Take your victory. All right. What were you going to say?
No, I just he did say it, but at the same time.
Oh fuck! Don't jump in like you're.
No, I'm just I'm defending the man. He did
a couple of shows without me, and all of a sudden he's turned.
Everybody was excited, and he said, "Hey, pump the brakes." He took a little heat for it too, for saying,
"Yeah." Well, he looks like a fucking.
I know you're going through, but that goes right to the fucking top, Mr. Armstrong.
Well, I got him on here, right? So
he should be.
Like, we don't have to go in my particular order here,
but he should be first and foremost. He should.
I do the players first, because then you're going to come back to that.
Well, I think what we're talking about. about the makeup of the team, you know, that falls on Army's plate too. Yep. And I don't know how well thought out this was, right? Yep. Like, because I think, like, as a GM or as a hockey guy, I look at the sheet and I'm just as guilty as a lot of people were at the start of the season. You look at the sheet and you're like, wow, that's a fucking good team. But then as you dive into it, 5, 10, 15, 20 games in, now we're at 38 games played, nothing has changed. They're still, like, you're watching teams fucking just forecheck the shit out of us. They're playing defense. They're back on the play. We don't have the dynamic speed or the changing of speeds with players in order to create more.
And I know where you're going with this, too. And even when you weren't here, even when you were here, I've said, and when my thing was, too, on the makeup of the team, Ribs, was there's a fucking mole, and I don't care. And I think there's more than one mole, but there's a fucking mole or two in this fucking hockey team. And I think leadership can't get there. Well, obviously, we'll wait to him, but the players, I think there's some guys that are trying to get their fucking arms around it. I don't think they can get it around it. I think it's a new generation where you don't get to fucking pistol whip the motherfucker back into the ball game. And so you're not doing that. So it's guys are freewheeling this thing. And just from little birdies that have been thrown into my ear by some people that there's some shit that goes on around fucking the St. Louis Blues team where everyone's not going down the same fucking road. They're veering off. So I think that sort of is going to play a bigger factor than you can imagine on any hockey team, because if you're going in different directions, I don't give a fuck. You could have the fucking perfect combination, but if you're going in different directions and not everyone's going in the same direction, that causes fucking problems.
Well, and losing causes that division,
and
too.
It gets bigger, and it makes it bigger.
It just is, because everybody starts to point the finger. You know, everybody's looking over their shoulder. Who's talking bad about me? Who says I'm shit? Who says I'm good? All that stuff. It does. It promotes a bad environment.
And the best sign of it, the best sign of a team that's really fucking not on the same page is when they can go out and play a good hockey game, and then they come back and get beat by fucking 8 goals. When they go out and play a good or 2 hockey games, come back, get beat by 6 goals. When they get up, and then when they get up and a fucking team comes back as of the New York Islanders and fucking score 2 or 3 goals to fucking go by you in the third period, you know the makeup of the fucking team. Not the makeup. You know the fucking leadership or something is fucking going in different directions. And I bet you there's a lot of fingers that are pointing, probably that shouldn't be pointing.
Well, of course, right? Because on any given night lately, it's somebody's fucking fault.
Correct.
And that's the problem.
Yes.
It is somebody different all the time.
You don't know the boat's going to leak from.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is you plug one hole and then the other one springs on you. And you're like, well, where the fuck did that come from, right?
Correct.
And so that's kind of what they're going through. And, you know, I'm gonna go right to Tarasenko here. If I'm a general manager of this hockey club, I'm trading him now. And I know that people are going to just fucking light me up. He's a franchise guy. He's this, he's that. No, he's not. Okay? The last 3 years, he has been in a steady decline in his play. Statistically, and if you watch him visually, he was engaged for about 7 or 8 games this year. And after that, it's been whatever. If he's hurt, then fucking stay out. Otherwise, he's not doing the team any good.
Yep.
And he missed one game for the flu, and they win. I know that shit happens, you know, and you can't consistently say, I get it. I've been around the game a long time, okay? However, this guy, his value right now, before he plummets off the fucking face of the earth and he only has like 10 goals this year or something like that happens and you get nothing back in value, he has a no trade that kicks in July. Why not right now?
Yep.
Send him somewhere, get some good return. I guarantee if you sent him to a Pittsburgh or a fucking Toronto or Calgary or somewhere like this, like I'm just grabbing teams, but somebody has a great use for this guy in a secondary role. Like imagine him in Pittsburgh, like I just say, you got Crosby, you got Malkin, you got Kessel, you have Tarasenko, Brassard, and all these other guys, right? Somebody's going to pay top dollar for this guy. They will, because they'll think that he just needs a change of scenery, that the environment hasn't been good in St. Louis, 2 losing seasons. He just needs a spark. Good. Take him. I don't see it out of him.
No, you don't see what is it? And here's what this when you as you were talking about that the one thing that I always keep sticking in my mind with Tarasenko, I've always brought up that he doesn't fucking work all the fucking time. I've always put the question marks that are rising that you've just said previously. But I sat there fucking one game when I think we had something going on and Holly was in town, and Holly was sitting there. But Holly, when a guy like Brett Hall says to you. Now, I'm not saying he's, but he just says the guy, he just liked the way the guy would, and he tried to compare, like people tried to compare Tarasenko to Holly, which he'll never, will never be, but Holly would always say, yeah, the quick release, the quick shot, the shot that a lot of people can't fucking pull off. And it's just, you know, we always said around here, we need a guy to get him the puck. Well, that fucking, the guys are getting the puck to him now, so that's not the fucking, you know, so there's something going on. And then, and I think he's a guy, and this might sound stupid, Riz, but he's a guy that if you go out and he works too fucking hard, he plays himself right out of the fucking, out of his style of game that he plays. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, I get it, but there's, I think there's a fine line there, you know, because right now I watch him play. He's got no jam, no fire, no pizzazz to his game at all. Like most offensive guys, if you look at them, even if they just try hard when they have the puck, you can see the spark. Yeah. You know, their eyes light up. They want to score goals. This guy here, he just wants the puck. He doesn't want to do anything with it. He just wants it on the power play. I've never seen such a fucking decimated power play every time they pass the puck to this guy. He holds on to the fucking thing forever. He's playing on the blue line, which he should never be there. Like, you're a fucking shooter. That would be like putting Alex Ovechkin at the top to be the fucking quarterback. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I agree.
So this guy's holding the puck at the blue line all the time, and then he drifts over to the far side of the blue line in the corner, and he tries to make a play. Like, why? Why? Just take him off the fucking power play then.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all. The way he's playing and what he doesn't do anything. So he's not scoring goals. He has no fire in his belly. He doesn't play defense. He doesn't play physical, but he's costing us, what, $8 million this year?
Yep.
$9 million next year or something like that. I think it's $7 this year, $9 million next year, $9 million the year after, and $7 million or $5 million. It's all over the place, but he's costing you a lot of money, and he's supposed to be your franchise player.
Correct.
Is that what you expect out of a franchise player? No, I expect it even out of a fucking guy like Phil Kessel. He's not a franchise player, but you get him the puck, he's electric.
Yep.
One flick of the wrist, it's fucking over. Mm-hmm. Well, Vladdy takes so long to shoot the goddamn puck. Like, holy shit, my 10-year-old daughter knows he's going to shoot it. She's like, oh, yeah, Vladdy's going to shoot the puck. They better get in front of him and block it. Get a stick on that. I mean, I'm not joking.
No, I've been calling that one for a while, too. So I
think we trade him and we move on. And people are going to be upset about that, and they're going to be pissed about that, and they're going to fucking think I'm an idiot. But if they look at him play...
They're going to be close on that one, but other than that, yeah.
But if they watch him play, watch his production, look at his numbers, look at his weight, you're going to see a big difference here that this guy's not your franchise guy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So
they're only upset because he seems like the guy that if you trade him, the minute he goes somewhere else, he's going to start pumping.
But it'd be short-lived.
Well, either way.
It's like the bad boyfriend who gets, you know, cheats on his girlfriend. He's a motherfucker, goes to the next girlfriend. He's a great guy, but then 6 months later, he's cheating on her.
It makes you bad when you're cheating on your girlfriend?
Well, I guess if you had a girlfriend.
Oh.
Oh,
Jesus.
Cromer,
doctor.
Cromer, why is he got to talk to you like that?
But no, in all seriousness, that's what it's like. There's a honeymoon phase for all these guys. And then it calibrates itself and it plateaus and you find out the real player again 6 months later. So to me, this is one you want to get out from under while you can.
Sorry, and I don't know how many more you got. I'm not. I don't like to peek at your list down there. So if you're going to keep going down on this, are you going in the phase of revamping the fucking whole entire squad and trying to go young?
No, because I think you can bring in two rostered players right now for Tarasenko because somebody's going to have to shed some salary to bring in his $7 million a year. So you've got to find mathematically a dance partner there. And guess what? If they have a player that's $3 or $4 million, he's usually a pretty good player.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have to revamp your lineup.
Okay.
I think that going down in a complete rebuild might be a mistake. I think we have some medium-aged talent that's pretty good here.
Yeah.
And if we go completely young, I don't know. I think we're wasting. Then why keep Bozak? Why keep Perron? Yeah. Why keep Steen? And we can say, well, yeah, get rid of him. It's not going to be that easy.
Right,
Vladdy's easy to get rid of.
Next guy. Who is it?
So the next one I'm going to go is Petro. And I know. I love Petro. I think he's a great guy. I think he works hard. I think he does. He's been questioned in his leadership. I think he leads in different ways. But he's also another guy that I think right now you're going to get better market value for him.
I think you get something for him, too.
You can.
Yes.
And you can go to a team like if you traded a Petro to the Leafs, to the Penguins, to the Golden Knights, you're going to get good return for that. You are.
I agree.
And why not do that?
And they've showed that, and it was only a short period of time, but they showed I don't want to get into that yet, but the Edmondson and Parayko, they went out and played together, and they played well together. So you know.
I don't think we're replacing him. Okay, don't get me wrong. I don't think we're going to replace him because he plays 25 minutes a fucking game.
You can fill it with more. I think I'd like to see them get away from a guy playing. This team sort of has to come together as a whole in that defensive crew. Does that make sense?
No, it does, and yes. You're not wrong.
Yeah,
but I just want to make sure that I'm clear on my direction with this. My direction with this is not trading a player because I don't think he's good. My direction is, what is the most I can get for a couple of players? Yep. And Tarasenko and Petro are by far the most valuable two players on our team right now because of their contract situation and because of the potential of what Vladdy can bring to a team.
Yep.
It appears, and to kind of piggyback off where you're going and to bring in a little bit of the stuff that's currently going on, especially with the fans, the hot name, too, you hear, which you haven't gotten to him yet, is Braden Schenn, if you throw him on there. Now, the issue is, like, when you start naming players over here, you've kind of started with the, for lack of a better description, you're talking about guys that we expect more from that we feel like we're not getting, right? But so fans are furious because what they're hearing is oh, we're going to trade Schenn. And people are like, well, wait a minute, why are we trading Schenn? The problem here is, as I see it, is if Doug Armstrong walked through the door right now and you said, hey, off the record, would you rather trade Schenn or would you rather trade Steen? I guarantee you he'd say I'd rather trade Steen. The problem is you can't trade him.
It's what you're actually capable of doing.
And to your point, what I like about what you're doing today is you're not just saying, look, I think you got to trade a guy. I think you're explaining the why. Like, if you're going to fix this thing, it isn't like there. I will say this. There are some guys that I think we get better simply by the, you know, addition by subtraction.
Correct.
That would help. But the guys you're talking about moving are going to bring back, we hope, pieces that are going to be part of the solution to this problem.
Well, I think there could be some immediate return on some of the guys we get back, right? And, of course, you're going to want to get some draft picks or some young prospects or things like that.
Well, that was my next question. How immediate do you want it? Like, you're still – like, even if you move these guys, and I'm not going to pull any – I don't give a shit. Like, you know, who cares what I think? But I've never liked – one of the guys you've mentioned, I've never liked him since the day they drafted him. I don't give a shit if anybody thinks he's any good or not. And I've never liked Steen, so I don't really give a shit. But the truth of the matter is, if I don't want, you know, some of these guys that are here right now are going to still be here for at least, I guarantee you, another couple years. I don't see this team ever being any good with a couple of these guys on it, to be honest with you.
Where'd you start that with, though? Like, you started with Schenn, though.
Well, I've never liked Pietrangelo. No, never.
The conversation with Schenn, though. So why'd you veer off of Schenn?
I would keep him if you could.
Fucking right, I would keep him.
But the problem is,
you can keep him if you get rid of those guys.
Yeah.
You cannot keep him because he is one of the most valuable cards you have in your deck.
No, I understand that. But, like, the show you were at, we talked about a lot of. The problem is, if you keep him, and listen, I understand this, but to the roster construction, what do you do with Thomas? You just leave him on the wing? Are you okay with that? And I don't care. You know more than I do.
His responsibility is less on the wing, which is probably better for a young player because a centerman has a lot of responsibility and it takes a lot of brain conditioning as well as physical conditioning to play center because those guys are, you know, they're the down below the goal line in your end. They're the last guy to lead the zone. Like, there's a lot of responsibility that falls. They got to guard McDavid and Draisaitl and these fucking guys. Where the winger, he's got to fill an area on the ice. He's got to watch his point, man. He's got to make sure he gets the puck out clean. Less responsibility. And for a young guy, that's probably better because he's probably focusing on other things rather than having to worry about always being in the right spot. So,
and if you tell me that works, that's fine.
I think it works right now.
If you're coaching a team, though, Ribs, and prior to what you said here earlier about Mr. Bozak, that's the fucking guy that should be going to the fucking
I understand.
Wing.
I understand.
And I think Thomas, if you're coaching a team and you're running through a little thing, and he's shown a little spark here lately, but he's the guy that you're sort of trying to bring for the fucking future. So you're probably better off, especially in a third-line spot.
Bozak can't play the wing, though.
But I'm just saying, if you're in a third-line fucking centerman spot, there's not as much pressure on you because the coach is going to slot you in different fucking areas where you're playing against guys that you're capable of playing against as opposed to playing against Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid, you know what I mean? So you usually get slotted in a good spot, and if you get Connor McDavid once in a fucking while, great, because then you're fucking going to see the fucking best guy at it, and you're going to see how that conquers. So I think they need to bring it's an old boy school mentality around here with Army in this, and they like to fucking run with the old crew. And I understand that people do that. We lived it. But I think this is a kid that you need to bring along and start to put him in the fucking fire a little bit, you know?
But let's not forget, this is a kid that should be technically probably playing junior hockey this year, okay? Now, I know he's better than that, so ideally you'd have him in the American Hockey League this year, but you can't because of the rules.
Yep.
So we don't want to try and fast-forward him too much and break him, okay?
Go back to your player list. I just got off.
Well, he's on my list, so let's fucking keep going with him. I think that, you know, I think your idea, Bozak on the wing, yeah, in a perfect world, but he's not fast enough to play the wing. So any of your breakouts, any of your situational stuff, he doesn't have the speed.
But why don't these guys fucking swallow? You know, if you make a bad fucking choice, that's the hardest thing about a coach, not a coach, because he's not the guy that brings the guy in. But they fucking bring
a guy he's the
in.
Guy who pays.
Yeah, I know. He's the guy that pays. But they bring a fucking guy in, and you got to fucking sit there. That'd be the hardest thing as a coach, sitting there going, you know, because you keep going and you keep going and you keep going because that's what the GM wants you to do, and it keeps kicking you in the fucking teeth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's tough. And, yeah, you're going to be able to eat probably – I forget the rule. I think you can eat one buyout. Mm-hmm. And
you get one buyout a year, but you can only eat so much on a contract when you trade it, right?
He's too young to fucking – you're not buying him out. So
that who's that?
Bozak. You ain't going to do that.
Well –
that ain't going to happen.
But either way, even if they wanted to try and do something like that, but it brings us back to Shen, okay? Shen is a very valuable poker chip in this whole thing. And so he falls on the exact same – part of the list is Tarasenko and Petro, because what are you going to get back for Shen if you did trade him? Okay, if you trade Shen, you're probably not trading Tarasenko. If you trade Tarasenko, you're not going to trade Shen, because you're going to want to keep one of those guys. You have to keep something. In my opinion, if I'm the GM, I'm moving 91, I'm keeping 10, and I'm locking him in as part of my leadership group moving forward.
I don't think out of those two players you're talking with, Tarasenko is going to bring you something back now, where I believe Shen's going to bring you something back in the future.
Correct. Probably
I
different.
I think they're on different plateaus.
They are. They are, for sure.
You know.
They are for sure. Their pay scale tells me so, and where they're talked about.
But that's what I mean, though. So if you're going to get rid of a fucking Shen guy, then I don't – that's where – because him and O'Reilly are two guys that you can run this fucking – centermen are key. They sort of run – besides, you know, I know the goaltender and the defense are – That's there also, but then you need your centerman to fucking...
Agree.
You need three really good ones to run in this league, at least three good ones.
Totally agree. And Shen is not on my trade list.
Yeah.
So, you know, as far as going through these players, I'm keeping him.
For sure.
I'm locking him in. And like I said, he's part of my leadership group. Yep. Him and O'Reilly will wear letters on my team. Mm-hmm. What those letters are will depend on whether who we can trade and who we can't trade.
Correct.
Okay?
I agree.
So that to me is a no-brainer. We're keeping him. Jake Allen. Got to move on.
Yeah, I think so.
You got to move on. I mean, it's time to break up with the girlfriend from high school here and move on to the college girls.
It's been a nice girlfriend, though. I like him.
Been a nice girlfriend. I'm not disappointed. Very loyal, you know, but still, you know, at the end of the day, it's not the same.
Yeah.
And it's just, you got to move on. And last game was a clear indication, and this is the month of January, and every fucking January he seems to need a break or time off or
fucking train.
A sabbatical.
Train yeah, was he I didn't see him. There weren't any goalie pads in the thing when I walked in.
Well, there may not have been any the other night either.
Weren't you wearing the goalie pads?
No.
Knee pads.
There's your guy.
And I'll still say, I think he can fucking, if there's someone chasing a fucking cup this year and you wanted to possibly pull him in, not to be the starter, so say, but to be a guy that could, to back your
Pittsburgh
guy, you know.
Pittsburgh right now would be a good dance partner. The Chicago Blackhawks, although highly unlikely to make a trade. Although in today's NHL, you never know.
Yep.
But Pittsburgh Penguins, to me, you know, Matt Murray has been average. And when Matt Murray was at his best, he had Marc-Andre Fleury.
Aren't Toronto fucking around with fucking three goaltenders?
Toronto has, you know, Toronto.
They're up and down all the time, aren't
they? Up and down all over the place. They've got like five or six goalies now. Two of them are hurt. And two brand new guys are starting and all this stuff. So, yes, I think you can find a dance partner.
What's he got left on his contract?
I think he's got 2 years left.
And what's he making?
I think four.
So that's fine. You know, that's all right. You could eat that.
Well, I think that a team would add that in a heartbeat.
I think so.
You know, there's lots of teams right now that need goaltending.
He's showing when he is on, he plays well. You know, there are times when he goes well.
2 years at a 4.3 cap
hit. He just goes hiatus once in a blue moon.
His actual base salary goes down.
His cap hit?
4.35.
Okay. So, still, if you added that to a team. Like, let's say you made a multiplayer deal and you send two guys, Allen being one of them, to a Pittsburgh or a Toronto, and you get a couple of guys back. They're not having a problem with that $4 million.
Yeah, nope, I agree.
You know, so I think it's just time to cut bait there. I like Jake. I think he's done as much as he possibly can for this organization. I think he's limited on his consistency that I don't think he'll ever get fixed.
That's the word. You just said the word. I mean, Kimby's backed this guy till the cows come home, and the reality of it is there are times where you're like, okay, 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 and then you have a game, and it's like, and to me, and listen, you guys play. Let me ask you, I'm going to ask you guys a question that I guarantee you fans would love to hear your honest answer.
Why are you going off the fucking
rails here? No, because this is about Jake Allen. I've said this forever, but I think fans would love to hear your honest take on this, okay? When you guys are out there,
don't you get honesty here?
Yeah, but hang on a second. I know you would never
sometimes
like.
Sometimes we
you don't want to throw a guy under the bus, and you know Rivs has played for a lot of guys. I mean you've played for guys.
He has too.
Well, but my point is, you'll see where I'm going with this. Can you honestly tell me that when you play, like the thing that Blues fans love about this is you guys typically, and I'm not this team's every night, bust your ass. Like you work so damn hard. This Blues team at times, and I've said it over the years, work so hard, and it's a struggle. Can't get a goal. And the other team, I've seen it 1,000 times. The other team comes down, shit goal. I mean,
well, that's the other night right there.
Right.
That's the entire story.
And you cannot tell me, that doesn't deflate a team.
Well, it's brutal. I mean, I've sat on benches where you got a guy in the pipes that can't fucking. I mean, he looks like he's playing dodgeball in net, and you're fucking sitting there. And every time there's a goal that goes in, that's a questionable one. You can physically see the team go, ugh, like
here
the shoulders
get,
drop,
yeah.
And you're, because you are working your bag off to try, especially this team right now, the Blues. They're scraping for every fucking goal they can possibly get. They get up by 2 against the Islanders. Holy shit, there's daylight. Fum, fum, fum. No, there isn't.
Yeah.
Fucking 12 shots in, 3 goals, and you're like, okay, we're done.
Trotsky and Bossier come back and boom.
Right, but like you've had those goalies where
no, you do it with kids even like that goes even all through. I play on a team where my team I coach right now we have a hard time scoring fucking goals. So if I'm going out in the first period or I've kept the game in tight and I let a fucking horseshit goal in, that kicks you in the ass, man, because you have a hard and the Blues are in that circumstance. They have a hard time finding goals.
Well, and when you're chasing the game,
yeah,
if you're already down by a goal. And it absolutely taxes you to the maximum to get up by a goal.
Yep.
And then you give one up, you just give one back.
Yep.
It's fucking heartbreaking.
See, I've said this for like I'm not going to be a bitch about it or whatever, but I've said this at times.
Yes, he is.
You can't tell me this team, what we've seen, I don't care whether you like Brian Elliott. I don't care whether you liked Hutton. I don't give a shit. This team played harder in front of those guys because I think the team liked those guys better. You're not going to convince me any different.
Here's a statement for you, though, and I'll stand by this right now to this fucking day. Besides O'Reilly, you take O'Reilly out of the picture because he's going to the All-Star, rightfully so, and everything.
Sure.
Besides O'Reilly, Jake has been your fucking guy that's got you more fucking points on this team than anyone else. I don't give a fuck what.
I'm not going to disagree with that.
The games that they have won, he has stood on his fucking head. They didn't even deserve to win some of these fucking games that he was playing.
Yeah,
he was doing his job.
And the other side of that, the flip side of that,
but
though,
I'm just saying, he's been a pretty good goal.
Is there games that have been pissed away?
Yeah.
Like I just said, like this guy every fucking January, he's got to go on sabbatical.
Yeah, but I think he's been on the better side of things. Of this year anyway. He hasn't this team.
No, I know what you're saying.
Well, this year
I know what you're saying, but right now
he's got
getting
a better team in front of him. Like if there was a team from I don't know when, how far back, but if there's a team that's fucking producing on a better, higher level, I'll guarantee you the Blues are fucking sitting and chasing this playoff thing down with Jake Allen sitting in fucking net, even though he's shit the bed a few times.
Well,
now we're
you're not wrong
thing, you know.
Okay, you're not wrong.
I agree to get rid
what
of
what I'm
him.
Saying is we have to cut bait.
I agree. I'm totally on.
You know,
board.
Like if at this point you got 40 games left or 41 or whatever is it 40
not
fucking three games left. Why not?
Yep.
You know, why not experiment?
I totally agree with it. I think it's time for him to move on. I think he's going to be a fucking mental thing in fans' fucking minds for the longest haul and his
yep.
own mind. So I agree. He needs a new start.
Is that the number one position that they need to address as far as building the team?
Well, no.
Back the other
way?
I mean, what you don't have a guy.
Well,
like,
obviously, you build from the net out, okay? So I shouldn't say no. Yes, I mean, that's an obvious thing. If you look at the teams that are successful in this NHL these days, they have a goalie that is a pillar back there.
Right.
And you're like, okay, now we can put 2 or 3 D, and your goalie's really good, you only need 2 good D, and you need 4 average guys. If your goalie is so-so, you need 3D and so on and so on. That's
sure.
how you build your team. But goal scoring, too.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have it. Like, Ryan O'Reilly is leading our team in scoring, and he's just not a pretty player, right? He's a hard worker. He does a lot of great things. But when are we ever a threat to score? Like, every time fucking the first line gets on the ice for another team, even if you look at the lowly Chicago Blackhawks right now, Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane get on the ice, and you're like, well, we better tighten up. because at any point they can fucking score. When are we that threat? Yep. When's the last time we had a shift where you put them out there and you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to be on now? Look at Philadelphia Flyers. You know who the Blues are playing tonight. They've got Giroux. They've got Voracek. They've got all these guys, Wayne Simmons, all these guys that can hurt you, bam, with a fucking, just a flick of the wrist.
That'd have a fucking potential to be a fucking snooze fest tonight, doesn't it?
I think it'll actually be not bad.
It has the potential to be a snooze
potential,
fest.
Yeah. But, you know, my point is that I don't see, Tarasenko is supposed to be our guy, that every time he touches the ice, should
be electric,
and he's not.
No, you're right.
We have no Amarin electric right now in our lineup.
And they suck.
Well, I can tell you the other guy, too, that just disappoints the fuck out of me.
Whoa, he's got a list he's going down.
I'm wondering when he's going to get to this guy.
Well, shut up,
Coach Henson's whipping boy.
Hey, Polar Express, easy.
Polar Express.
Yes,
Coach Henson's whipping boy. I want to make sure we
J-Bo?
Get to him.
You remind me of the guy in the Polar Express that swallows the hair.
Let me tell you something. If we were just complaining about J-Bo, we'd be all right. Problem is,
he hasn't been actually that horrible.
I was going to say.
I mean, he.
Oh, get rid of that fucker.
But. All right. You're jumping all over the page now. Yeah. We're going to have a 4-hour fucking podcast because you can't keep it straight in here.
You ever watch the Polar Express?
I just want to make sure we get to your boy.
He doesn't have his ticket.
Swallows the hairpin on the Polar Express.
Oh, no, I don't watch
the
that.
The cotter pin, you see him?
We don't watch that.
Oh, I've seen that guy.
You're
right,
son of a bitch.
We don't watch that kind of stuff at my
house. Grow the beard out a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So who do you want to go to? Just fucking say the name.
Jaden Schwartz. Not good enough. Sorry.
No, but you're not trading him.
I know you're not, and I don't care that he hustles up and down the wing.
No. You're missing the point on that, okay? Yeah, he hustles down the wing, this and that and the other, but he's still at a pretty good age for this NHL. He still has speed. He might be your only fucking speed you have in the lineup.
Oh, I understand that.
So, you know, to me, he's not the guy I'm looking to circle right away and go, let's get rid of this guy.
Three whole goals with that speed,
too. I'm hoping they pick up Smoltz off waivers.
Who does?
There's this guy. Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, what the fuck is he on over there?
What?
That's how they would do.
God. So, Jaden Schwartz, we can piss and moan about his production this year. We can piss and moan about his he's the only speed we have up front, realistically. He is a little fire plug, and you're gonna hang on to him for a little bit here. And I think he can be valuable moving forward if you put some other guys with some speed in there. Like, you can't be the guy that does all the work, and you can't be the guy that passes to yourself. Yeah. Right? Like, so it's...
How long are we going to pay Fabio?
Well, he's got to go.
He's on the list?
Yeah, I've had enough of him, too.
He's on the list. He's got to go. Yeah.
He's like a wash machine. He can't get the stain out.
If he quit trying to be a doctor, he'd be all right. But he's fucking trying to be a
doctor.
He's
hurt all the time, and I like the guy. I think he showed a lot of potential when he first came in, but I think these injuries have just been too much on him. Yeah. He doesn't have that fourth and fifth gear. I don't even know. Like, even when he came in, he was quick, but he wasn't necessarily like blazing speed. Now he's lost that even. So I don't know. I like him. Is he first on my list to get rid of? No, I don't think he has much value out there, right? So that's why I'm looking at it in a realistic way, going, I don't really know we can get back for this guy. And he's only at $1 million or something right now. So
yeah, is this last year?
He's got a 1 year. So to me, he's like one of the least of my worries right now, because we can always cut bait with him at the deadline.
Yep.
You can. You know, just give it to some team who needs some depth. And $1 million, prorated, someone's jumping on that. Much like, you know, I think somebody would jump on Maroon at 175. I think prorated now, I think he's like 900 grand for the rest of the year. So I think if you want to find a dance partner there, you can as well. But, you know, so it leads me to Steiner. I mean, we've talked about this already till we're blue in the face. You can't get rid of him, not because you don't want to, just because you can't.
Well, every fan wants him out of here.
I understand, but there's no way. You've got to find a dance partner that's willing to eat his contract, eat his average annual value, you know, his cap hit. So I don't see them. I don't see him going anywhere. He could be the buyout that Kimby talks about.
The thing I see with Steiner is, I think the management, the brass, and all the bigwigs, I think they all have a fucking factuation for the man. And maybe so, because he was been here for a long time, and they're being loyal to the man or whatever. But if they would get over that little fucking wedding that they're on, then I think there's a way that you got to buy that man out. And you got to, sometimes you got to eat a fucking contract. I don't care. You got to eat it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I'm okay with that. I like Steiner. You know, I think that in a perfect world on a really deep team, he's valuable, but we're not deep.
And he might be one of the guys that's living, that's lived in the era before where the game was different and kids reacted different. And maybe he's trying to fucking be the leader of a fucking team, a bunch of misfits that are going around. And maybe that's taking a toll on him where it's hurting his game a little bit. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there, and maybe that's a possibility.
I just don't see how you're going to get rid of it, to Darren's point, unless you're going to eat
him. So unless fans, you buy him out, but you can't buy him out midseason.
Right, and fans don't want to – and this is the way I've explained it to somebody. Have you ever owned a car that you've owned for like a year and you financed for 5 years and you wanted to go trade it in? That's exactly what it's like.
And you're upside down on the deal?
Have you ever went in there and a guy
goes, I've done that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, you owe – this car's worth $20,000, but you owe $35,000, so you're fucked.
I think they bought – I think Army got bought at the same fucking dealership, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he's been to the same dealership a few times. Yeah.
So I just think that we write that off as something to deal with in the offseason. I don't think you're going to find a dance partner for that player right now. Let's see. Coaching staff. That's a disaster right now. I like Chief. I don't think the coach – I don't know right now.
Chief's going to be here the rest of the year.
He is. But I think that's unfortunate. We go back to the original press conference, and like you brought up right away, Kimby, Army's like, we are going to search high and low and search the earth. And there's a guy sitting right beside him, and he's like, oh, yeah, and this guy here is going to do this for now.
I think Army's been in – I think he's in the submarine searching low right now. You just can't find him.
Fuck, he's too low.
I'll tell you what's going
to happen. Fish finder isn't catching him.
You want me to write this out for you right now? There's been a call to Mr. fucking Quinville. You wait till the end of the fucking year. I'm just saying this is what I'm going to say. And I think he starts your year coaching here next year.
Not if Army's a GM.
And I think – I'm just saying – I think – well, I'm not saying he's here. I'm saying – Quinville will be your coach here next year.
Well, that's a shit-ass-eating look on your face. What's that mean? Not if
it's not as Army's here. There's no way. Because Quinville's going to want Mike Babcock control, meaning that he has a say on every player acquisition that they do. Not necessarily negotiating the contracts, because that's what the GM...
The guy calling the shots right now, it's not fucking working out fucking pretty, is it?
I was going to say, wouldn't you do that if you... I mean, I
wouldn't. No. Okay, guys, you're missing the point here.
No, I'm not.
Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not either. I don't know. I'm going to go over it again, though. Tom Stillman is the lead dog, and then the rest of the ownership group fall underneath. Then it goes to Doug Armstrong.
Right.
That pecking order is going to change. If you bring in Joel Quenneville, it's going to go Tom Stillman, the rest of the ownership group, Quenneville slash Armstrong, and that's not going to fly. Guys, Doug Armstrong, the way he manages a team, and every guy has their own way, the way he manages a team is he wants to be – he wants his fingerprints on everything from the negotiations down to what kind of tape they buy for their guys.
There's another buyout for you right there.
Kimby likes to spend other people's money, don't he?
Well, yeah. I mean, but I'm just saying.
Fuck, man. You got to.
No, I listen.
He's one of the fucking faces that have been
here. I agree.
Well, the ship is fucking sinking a little bit here. So that's the face on the fucking franchise, as the man just said. He wants his fucking fingers on everything. Well, he's got him on everything. So, you know, he's the one that brings these players in. He's the one that's fucking went out and got. So if you want to praise him for the fucking good stuff he's done, kick him in the fucking nuts for the shit that he hasn't done. And I'm kicking him in the nuts because right now I don't think he's fucking done it right. And I think the makeup of this team, knowing what he went through a process, and he wasn't the sole guy there that was in Dallas, but he was when they won the cup because Bob Gainey's around the fucking in the
ballpark. Bob was running that ship.
Yeah, Bob was running that ship, but Army was there. He'd seen what the fuck it took to win a Stanley Cup. He was at the top of the fucking pecking order when that was going on. So this team and the game has changed, but that fucking Dallas Stars team, that team could travel to this fucking century and play in this fucking
league. What year was that?
But you can't forget that the guy that was leading the charge there too is Ken Hitchcock.
Yeah, and Hitch was there.
And Hitch had a big say in things in
Hitch
Dallas.
Hitch was here at one time, too.
I know, and the team was better, weren't they?
They were better, but they weren't getting to they started to decline when Hitch was here, but when all the shit started going on. But who starts all that right at the top of the radar?
No, look, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just saying that I believe in everything that is my brain that if you have Doug Armstrong here, I don't believe you can bring in Joel Quenneville. I don't believe they can coexist.
I'm with you on that side. I understand that, but I'm also – Mr. Stillman's going to sit there and be an owner. Unless I'm a fucking moron and I'm not listening to the fucking media waves and all the shit, the fans and the – who do they want here? But if the fans would tell you who they want, Mr. Quinville's the guy they want here, without a fucking doubt.
Without a doubt.
You know, and so, you know, you got to – and I'm not saying you got to play to what the media says. You don't want to – as an owner or a G or whatever you're doing – you can't fucking just listen to what they're fucking smoking all the time. But, you know, Quinville's proven himself. Does he still get the fire to do it? You know, that's the question that I'd have to answer.
I think he does. Joel's a super competitive guy, okay? And he doesn't want to lose at anything.
Because I think the fucking lead fucking reindeer here, fucking Rudolph, is, and we don't got a Rudolph on our fucking on our organization right now. And the fucking the nose isn't too bright is what I'm trying to go at. That's where it all starts at the top with me here, Riz, on this organization. I think the makeup was all brought in by this, And I just don't see it fucking gelling together, as you've said here through this process.
Like, I don't disagree with you at all. You know. I just think that the marriage wouldn't last.
No, I totally agree with you on that.
That's all I'm saying about totally that. Agree. Do I agree with he should? Yes, I would love to have him here. Yes, I'd give him a multi-year deal. Yes, I'd give him control of the roster and all that shit. But I'm not Doug Armstrong, who, you know, has his fingerprints on everything and still has 3 years left on my deal.
And let's not forget that Mr. Armstrong, when he was in Dallas, played in a league that didn't have a salary cap.
And he wasn't the head guy there, though. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, I mean, that. Listen, you've said this 100 times, Rose. Isn't the ultimate problem here with the way to fix this team the fact that we live in a salary cap era and you just can't wish away your problems?
You can't. No, you've got to get creative. You've got to be willing to take some losses in some of your deals. Not every deal you make is going to be a victory. In today's NHL, sometimes people look at a trade and go, that was fucking horrible, but there's a means to an end there, right? Like, you look at the San Jose Sharks and the Ottawa Senators, and then they trade Hoffman to San Jose. San Jose flips that, turns it to Florida. Florida ends up with a 40-goal scorer again this year.
Yep.
Well, how did that happen? Because they all got creative, right? And somebody lost in that deal, and I believe Ottawa lost in that deal. They ended up with Michael Bodker for fucking Mike Hoffman.
Correct.
Whether his girlfriend's a nut or not, it doesn't matter. You still made a bad business decision. So that's all I'm saying is in today's NHL, if you want to move players, you don't always win your trades. Mm-hmm. And you may have to eat some salary. You may have to lose a trade. You may have to – there might be four steps to get to where you want to be. Yep. And you've got to think that out. And that's why they have so many guys on the payroll, is because there's a lot of brains that are supposed to work together and figure this out. So, you know, on the flip side of things here, without being too negative, and we're fucking 50 minutes in here, I think Oscar Sundquist has been a nice surprise. I've been all over him before. I thought that I personally think that his injury caused by Mr. Wilson kept him here because I think he was on his way down to the minors. But since he's come back for that, I mean, he's been steady Eddie. You know, him and Barbashev, I got Barbie on here too. I'm not upset with those guys. I mean, really, right? Like, fuck. I mean, in the big scheme of things, are they a huge piece of the puzzle? No. But at least they're not on the piece of the puzzle that's disappointing me. So, I you know, plus
the
marks
same
for
thing
them.
I've always said, those are roster spots, though, that I would rather have guys that can play a larger physical
those
role.
Those are the 3:30 girls at a 3 o'clock bar. Right
yeah,
there.
Well, yeah. They're not disappointing. They're working hard.
That's what they said about Chrome. The 3:30
the grenade at 3 o'clock. But they're working hard, right? So, hey, it is what it is. I think we all agree, J-Bo, we're moving on from that. Whether he's been good or bad or this, that, the other, he's in the last year of his deal. This will be the end of the road for him here in St. Louis, so we don't really have to talk about that. We talked about Robert Thomas. Joel Edmondson, interesting scenario here that's played out.
Yeah, that's
something else.
Right? Like, I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
I guess,
like,
is that a message?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I'm watching the games, and I watch the games pretty fucking closely, and I'm a former defenseman, I watched that shit, and I'm like, really? I'm like, I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. So, I don't know. I've been okay with his game.
Listen,
he's part of the future for us. I you know.
So let me ask you this question, because you do watch the games, and you and
you, don't you watch the games?
No. My point is I know how he watches them. I've gotten the texts. You know, I'm on my third time watching. I've rewound this 80 times. So everybody likes Vince Dunn.
He's been a big disappointment.
Yeah. You're sitting Edmondson over him to send a message?
Well, you're playing J-Bo, you're playing Dunn over Joel Edmondson right now, who I think...
Gunner?
Well, Gunner's been fine. I'm okay with him.
But I'm just saying, you don't play him again. This guy here is a top fucking... Maybe two defensemen that you're
He's supposed to be. Yeah. You're going to pay him like a top
Something's
two.
Something's going on
is
there.
Any free agent coming up?
I think he signed, the one-year bridge deal or two-year bridge deal or something like that. I think it was a one-year deal. So you're going to end up paying this guy, or somebody will, because he's a valuable commodity.
Yep.
And you're sitting him out for no apparent reason. I don't know.
He's restricted. If you don't want to pay him, somebody will.
He's not a guy that someone will offer sheet, but, either way, he's part of your core moving forward. He has to be. He's a unique blend in this day and age of not a ton of sandpaper, but some sandpaper. And he can still move his feet pretty good, moves the puck pretty good. Like I said, I didn't see the healthy scratch coming, so I don't know. Maybe there's something that I'm missing. Maybe there's something, like Kimby said, maybe there's something going on that we don't know about.
I just like it. I like when him and Pareko play together. I like it.
He makes Pareko better.
I think they're a good fucking tandem.
Yeah, and Pareko, for me, has been you're pot committed on this guy. You're not trading a 6'5 or 6'6 defenseman that skates like that and moves the puck. You're not. You're going to work with him for another couple of years. You're going to give him every opportunity you can. Should he play a little meaner at times? Yes. But, guys, guess what? I don't think it's ever coming. So get over it.
I think just every time you see him, you should kick him in the nuts. And then Rico, maybe eventually.
Kick him? Fuck, I'd have to jump up and punch him in the nuts.
Maybe eventually he'll play a little middle meaner.
I don't think he would. I think he'd say, I'm sorry that my balls hit your hand. I'm not being a dick. He's such a nice guy that I just think that, like, you know, I don't know. But like I said, we're pot committed to this guy, and we should be. He skates like a 6 foot tall defenseman at 6'6". He moves the puck. He's got a bomb. There's a ton of upside still left there. He's still a young defenseman.
Yeah, I'm not trading him.
So you got Edmondson and him and Dunn. You're not trading Dunn. You know what? He had a great year last year. We thought he were going to have big things this year. It hasn't happened that way. Sophomore slump or whatever you want to call it. He'll recalibrate himself. He has too much ability again. As a young defenseman, he has too much ability to get just cut bait on.
What's the story on Jersey Joe Walcott down there in the minors? How come he never gets up here and gets a
Wallman?
Yeah.
Can't play in the NHL.
Just can't play, yeah.
Can't play. Like Schmaltz.
Same thing.
Yeah, you know, Schmaltz is a great player. He's got all this ability, but when I watch him play and I go over his shifts and over, he just can't play.
Well, where's your fucking future D?
You don't have any. You don't have any. That's why you got to make moves.
He's the biggest fucking guy you got down there. The name I've heard anyway.
Well, they got the big Swedish guy or Finnish guy. What's his name? Toivonen, Tominen, Timonen, Tubbinen, whatever. Fuck. The big guy. 6'5", 6'6", down there. But yeah, you're not deep. But that's why we have Chris Butler up here at times.
Yeah.
If you were that fucking deep, you wouldn't have Chris Butler. And I love Chris Butler, and he did a fantastic job. And I covered it last show. You guys weren't here. You guys were on vacation. Anyways, but I said, Buttsy did a great job.
Yeah, he did.
He continues
and he actually
to do great
leadership talking too.
Fuck, did he ever?
Yeah.
So, but he's not your future.
No.
So they're not deep on D, and that's a problem. So I think you move one of these pieces, like I talked about, and you get D back. You've got to build up your back end because right now we don't have the goaltending, we don't have the depth on D, we don't have goal scoring. Guys, guess what? That's a combination for fucking disaster.
Exactly.
And that's what we're going. And we don't have speed. And we don't have toughness.
But that's what, and then you know what? And you're, yeah, and you're talking, and they're, but they're, that's why when people mention fucking Braden Schenn's name, I say, fuck, you can't. I don't care what you got to keep, because he's got character. There's character that fucking this team is lacking.
Mikkola?
Yeah, Mikkola, you know, that's it.
So that's why I don't even like the thought. I don't care if someone's coming for him. Fuck that. I gotta get away from that. And sometimes, you know, you got to make trades just to shake. That's not one I make. I think I keep that kid, and I'm riding that horse.
I agree. Well, I think that he's, like I said, I think to me, he's the centerpiece of your leadership group that you want.
For sure. And he's young.
Speaking of young guys, I mean, you've went through about, you're not going to trade like a Kyrou. I mean,
No, those guys, the Kyrou's tearing it up in the American League. He's in the American League All-Star Game, Player of the Month, all this shit. He's coming up next year.
Yep.
Actually, here's the deal.
Are you just going to leave him alone down there?
No. What we're going to do is once we move some of the dead weight, we bring up Kyrou, we bring up Costin, and that's where you integrate these guys. You don't bring them up at the same time, okay? Because now you're really putting a lot of youth in the lineup.
So on the,
are you ready for Costin?
Let's go with the Costin.
Why not? Look at this fucking kid.
Yeah, but hold on here before you go there, because I don't follow all the rules, and so you're gonna know this more than that. If you bring him up, do you? Like some guy was saying that on Twitter when I was doing it, that they lose a year of something towards an expansion draft or something?
I don't know exactly what it is. In my opinion, you can't worry about that right now.
Well, the only thing with him, though, if you're sitting on that point where you possibly could, Ribs, I'd probably, because he's got a lot of fucking attention on him right now, and he showed, like, he's got a lot of spunk in his game. You know, whether you fucking think it's crazy or not, I don't. I like that. But that's a guy that, if I'm sitting there and Seattle's going to pick fucking a guy, yeah, you might not want to get him out there for them.
No, but at that point, you have other guys. We've already talked about guys we'd expose.
Don't
right?
we have a whole bunch of guys that we'd be happy if somebody would take?
Yes.
But that, as you're describing it here,
David
too.
Perron, unfortunately, probably be on that fucking list.
Yeah, but they're not going to take his ass, I don't think.
Well, Vegas did.
I would take fucking Costin over that guy in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I understand.
You're not going to expose him.
You might have to, as well as what I'm asking. That's what I was asking him, the rules. If you get this
but
guy
either
up,
way, Kimby, he's going to play next year, right?
Yeah.
Costin. So here's my point right now is
I want him up here.
You want to give these guys, you have to give these guys a little nibble. And we talked about that before. You got to give them a little taste of the NHL. Show them what it's like every day, the practices, the workouts, the nutrition, flying on the planes. This is what it's all about. You give them a little fucking nibble, send them back down to play more minutes. Now they want the NHL life back.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's what we used to go through, right? Send them down to the buses. Yep. And fucking guy goes, I don't want this shit anymore. And so Klim Costin to me is that guy. Kyrou's had a little nibble already. He's gone down. Look at the way he's played. Mm-hmm. Think he wants to be in fucking San Antonio? Mm-hmm. Nice place. I like the Riverwalk. Great people. Yep. All that stuff. But at the end of the day, he wants to be in St. Louis.
Correct.
And he's playing like he wants to be in the NHL. So now you got two guys chomping at the bit that are forwards that, when you look at our roster of dead weight that we have, would certainly occupy some good positions for us.
I agree.
So you give them each a nibble here on the backside of the season. You stagger them so that you don't have to have too much youth in the lineup, and then everybody's like, oh, we're just throwing it away. You know, I mean, obviously there's something to be said for draft picks, but fuck, I'm not going down that road right now. Because with our luck, we'll never win the goddamn lottery, and we'll end up picking the wrong fucking guy. Whatever it is. To me, that's like the unknown. I don't like to deal with the unknown. So I would give Clem Costin, you know, quite honestly, I would bring his ass up right away. Because he's riding the wave of emotion right now. He's had all that success, the World Junior. He had a little bit of controversy with
Please
the
Please tell
you.
Me that didn't bother you.
No.
I was going to say, some people are all bent out of shape about it. I'm like, number one, have you ever in your life played in an environment like that and then afterwards had to be fucking gracious? You know Get the fuck out of here.
You know what fucking pissed me off? When he disrespected the Canadian fan. That pissed me off.
Why? Because they were booing him? He told him fuck off?
I'm joking.
I was going to say.
I thought you were serious. I'm like, Kimby, holy fuck, sober up over there.
I liked it. I
love it.
Do I think you should have said, fuck you? Probably not.
I don't like when these players.
You ain't never done that.
You know what?
Well, I have.
I don't like when they disrespect. This might sound cheesy, but if you're going to go up there for a medal thing, like the guy throwing the fucking thing up, have a little respect for the game. You know, you got to have some kind of where he sort of gets up there. You entered into the process. You were picked to be fucking something. You were the captain of the Russian team. The guy the was the leader of the – was it the Swedish team or the Finnish team there last year?
Sweden.
Sweden team. He fucking did the same. Have some fucking respect for it because it's a catapult for you to move to where you want to be at. So have some respect for the game because the people before you had a lot of respect for the game.
So what did he do that he had a problem
with? To stay on that, okay, here's where you may understand, but people listening don't understand, is the pressure in those countries to win on the international platform – is tremendous. Perfect. So Sweden, that young kid, they had a whole country, not just fucking hockey fans, they had a whole fucking country watching that and expecting to win a gold medal, and they didn't. And he was a captain. He was upset. He's a kid, 18 or whatever, 19 years old. He still hasn't figured out life. Made a mistake, okay? Clem Costin, same thing. He's the captain of the Russian team.
Yep.
How much pressure do you think is on Russia? Fucking guys go missing forever if they don't do well in the fucking tournament.
But, and that part there, I understand.
Seriously.
I know. Understand that. But like the Canadian guy, the captain, that fucking he went through a lot of controversy through this tournament.
Yeah.
You know, but he didn't handle it in a bad fucking way. You know,
he
had a lot of people. He had some people protecting him also. But you know, he got his fucking ass handed to him. That kid did. You know,
and he deserved it.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean listen.
In certain things,
think he deserved the criticism of the flopping around and the bullshit like that. Do I think he deserved death threats and fucking stupidity like that? No, absolutely. I don't think anybody deserves that.
No.
So, all I'm saying is there's a tremendous amount of pressure put on these young kids, and certainly in Russia. I played for that coach, Valery Bragin. He was my coach in Russia. He's a no jokes guy. So I guarantee that he picked that captain and he was like, listen, the hope of our entire country is on your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you come up short as a child, he's only 19. I mean, I know he's an adult per se, but he's not. Like, fuck, think about when you were 19, right?
Yeah.
You know, tipping cows and banging sheep. Like, come on.
But so he's still got to I just wish they would respect the game. That's all.
I don't know. I got to ask you, what did he do that you didn't
like? He went over there to get his medal and he's fucking like, The pouting face,
it wasn't a medal, it was a watch.
Yeah, or whatever, the watch, and then he runs it back there and does that, and he doesn't want to be part of it.
He just took it over and gave it to the guy.
And that's not the, if you just watch the whole process, it's like it's disrespecting the part.
It's a little bit, yeah, but I'm willing to forgive him for the sake of passion to win. I'd rather have a guy make a mistake like that than to show no fucking passion at all.
You know what, that passion part, but that sulky fucking attitude is probably part of the fucking reason what's going on in your fucking Blues right now.
No, part of these guys should benefit from that attitude, Kimby.
They'd
be happy to just get second.
But not the pouting fucking everything's fucking given to me fucking mentality, which I think is thriving in the Blues organization right now.
That's not how I
take it. I'm going to disagree on your assessment of Costin in this one.
I know I liked everything you put it. I just didn't like the shitty attitude because I have more respect to the fucking game.
You're a coach, okay?
And I would have still did that.
But wait a minute, Crum. You're a coach.
Yeah.
And you got a kid who goes out there and gives up a goal. It's clearly his fault to lose the game. Do you want the kid who's fucking pissed off, smashes his stick and wants to be better and fucking do better? Or do you want the kid who just says, that happens.
No, I'm already pissed, but there's a fine line that you're going to run there. There's a game that you're fucking on a stage. Like the guy, The guy last night for the fucking Bears that fucking kicks the field goal and fucks up, you know. But
well, he didn't fuck up. It was tipped.
It was tipped. But he gets fucking blamed, and all the world fucking goes after him. And,
yeah, they did.
You know, and that fucker, at least he stand there in the fucking in the room right after and said, it's my fucking fault.
But he's a man.
So, yeah.
But he's played on fucking seven NFL teams.
If you're fucking in Russia at 19, you're fucking, that's like 30 years old in the fucking real world.
Yeah, but you're brainwashed a little bit too.
Yeah.
That the whole country's hopes were on your fucking shoulders.
I think he had, I liked his fucking gumption and fucking... is fuck the world. I like all that. I do. Because you need that to survive. But I think there was a fucking pissy patter attitude at some points in his thing.
All right. Well, I saw it differently. So maybe my eyes were different.
The other reason I saw it differently is look at the way he's approached the game this year at San Antonio. I mean, all we've seen is a guy down there banging people around, sticking up for his teammates. I mean, he appears to me to be on track to be a guy that...
Be careful.
Well,
no, he does. He's on the right track here. Where he lacks and is deficient in his game is actually, and what we saw in the World Juniors was a better version of him, believe it or not. Now, I know he's playing a bunch of, not kids, but his own age bracket, not all these other guys.
Not adults.
But he played better on the defensive side of the puck. He was more responsible with the puck. He made better decisions. In the NHL or the AHL, that's been his biggest criticism, is that he plays a little loose, meaning that it's a little high risk, and that maybe he's not back-checking and blocking shots like he should. Now, he'll finish a hit. He'll fight a guy for a teammate. He'll do all this shit. But in order to play every day in the NHL, as we all know, all that other shit has to be tightened up.
There's a reason why a first-rounder is still sitting in the fucking minors, Mr. Cromer.
Hey, he's 19.
No, I understand
there's
that.
There's a reason why a guy is in the first round.
Well, he was injured.
So I'm just saying, you can go wherever you
want. He's 19.
I lived in this fucking league, too, and I know every fucking first-rounder fucking walks this door at some point in time within his first couple of years.
Yeah, but I'm willing to
at least to see it.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
You're not wrong, and I think that's kind of what I'm alluding to.
I like
to.
It. I don't think he's bad. I'm not going against the kid.
But let's make something straight here. We don't know. Like, I don't want people to think, oh, he's bad in the locker room, or he's a drunk, or he's out banging broads all the time. No, he's like, one, I don't care about the latter part. But what I'm saying is, let's not paint that picture.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. Sure. I don't know. I
wasn't painting that picture. That's not what I was doing.
I know, but it could be kind of with everything that we've gone over today, it can kind of be looped in there.
But he brings a lot of attention to himself, too, when he's doing this, too, Riffs, you know. So he wants the attention. So if you're going to want the attention, shit comes your fucking
way. Live by the sword, die by the sword,
just
huh?
Just like your two stepsons. They do the same thing, you know. And they fucking bring attention to themselves.
Yeah. I wish they were. I'd be driving a better truck.
Oh, boy.
But, no, you know, Klim Kostin to me, I would ride
the future.
Yeah. I'd ride the wave right now, and I would try to get him up here sooner than later to give him a little nibble to show him what this is, what life can be. You know, you're not having to sit at home and microwave borscht every night in fucking San Antonio.
I better be careful or I'm going to get called Jimmy Kostin, because you've been called Jamie Tkachuk a couple times.
I have. Been here. That's all right. I'm okay with it. I've been called a lot fucking worse, too. Trust me.
Rightfully so.
I've been called a lot worse, and I'm okay with that. If that you call me, I'm okay with that. So anyways, that to me, I mean, we could go on and on. We got Bortuzzo, which he signed for another, 3 years or something, and I'm okay with his game right now. Should he play a little more like the other night? Yes. He's not
phony to me.
Well, you know what? At least he did it, though.
He did that night one time.
But maybe it'll be more.
We'll see.
You know, it could be confidence build. Yeah. You know, I'm sure you went through those times where you had a couple.
No.
No, not that you weren't willing, but where your confidence was higher.
It's not about confidence with him. I disagree with that. I don't think he sees himself in that environment.
No. You're not wrong. I listen.
I like when he does it, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. And Cam Jansen was talking about it the other day, too. He had a little beef with his performance so far this year. He you know, for people who don't listen to Cam's show, which you should.
You should.
Cam Jansen show.
Great show.
Great show. Great guy. Brock Wilson, Hannah Yates is on there. They do a fantastic job. A lot of fun. But Cam just said... you know, he's like, when you have a guy like Robert Bortuzzo, who the most aggressive and the most fierce you've ever seen this guy's face in a fight is when he's beating the shit out of his teammate, he goes, that's a problem.
Yeah.
He goes, he should have that fight face on for everybody. And now, I don't disagree with that. Like, he was throwing punches from the fences on that one. And
if you really want me to be honest with you, because I've been in about 500 of them, he was a guy that when he fought Mr. Wilson, good guy that knows how to fight a little bit, as opposed to Mr. Sanford, probably never been in a fight in his life. I don't think Mr. Bortuzzo really knows how to fight that good.
No, so, he wasn't comfortable.
Wow. No, he wasn't. He was sort of wanting to fucking hit his ass before he wanted to start throwing two
punches. Yeah, no, I don't blame him for being uncomfortable.
I still give him credit for going there.
Yeah.
But
there's other guys that could have stepped up.
I don't think you're going to see that happen on a regular basis.
No. Schmaltz has cleared waivers. Does that surprise you?
It does surprise me a ton. Because he's a guy that you think somebody right now, even the Edmonton Oilers, are starving for D.
Was he here when Hitch was here, or was that after Hitch?
I think he was drafted during Hitch's tenure. I don't know.
They're pulling fucking D out everywhere right now.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right. So to have a guy like that who's been in the NHL.
They just had one guy come off the thing, though, Russell or whatever, just come off the injury list.
So it's surprising that he cleared waivers. We'll see. I mean, he's going to head down to San Antonio, and we'll go from there. He needs to play. He hasn't played a fucking lick up here, and he certainly hasn't played to his ability, meaning that his strengths.
It was strange, though, when that he goes on the waiver wire, which I think there's two other fucking guys that are capable of maybe being that seventh defenseman, so I wonder if any of them got picked up.
Well, I don't know, and sometimes that's strategic, too, yeah. Eh? Like, you see other guys, you're like, ooh, let's see if we can slide him in here.
For sure.
Like, they used to do that with the older guys. They'd see, like, a bunch of guys hitting the waivers and fucking slide a veteran. Hopefully he flies through there.
No, I agree.
So, I don't know. I don't want to lose him because at least he can occupy a spot on the roster if you need an emergency situation.
Young depth.
We'll see. Bortuzzo, we've got him for a couple of years. It is what it is. Gunnarsson, I've been pleasantly surprised with. Backup goalie, well, we don't really have one. I don't fucking know. I mean, the trainer's next to get in there. I mean, they keep flip-flopping these guys around all over the place. I think Binnington is finally getting a start tonight in Philly.
Yes.
So we'll see. I mean, hopefully
he's
plays
playing
well.
For the Blues.
Yeah, Berube's named him as the starter.
Didn't he just have the shutout down there in the minors?
I don't know.
Then they win 3-0.
It's hard to keep track. He's on the Mike Keenan flights, back and forth.
I thought he did. I thought he just had a shutout in the minors. I could be wrong.
I hope he did. I hope he's playing well. But anyways, that kind of rounds up. I think we've touched on everything with the Blues. I know we've been as honest. Not as we possibly can be. I think we've been brutally honest with this. I'm sure some people will like what we said. I'm sure some people will hate what we said. And I'm sure we'll hear about it on Twitter and other social media platforms. But it is what it is. Now, the one thing I wanted to get to before we cut bait here and get out is we've touched on the World Juniors, touched on trades. Connor McDavid. How surprised are you that shit's going on right now? And for those who don't know, pull up Twitter, pull up fucking TSN, pull up NHL Network, anything, you'll see that he's been taking abuse. And last night he took a hit that was not just borderline. It's suspendable, and I don't even know if the league is going to look at it. They might.
Did you see the referee in the picture?
He's sitting right there looking at it. Oh, but how many times have we seen a ref standing there and the guy gets suspended for three games and there's no penalty?
I know, but how does that happen?
I'll tell anyone, I put it on Twitter. I tell you, if you ever put a fucking pair of skates on and you're going full fucking throttle to the fucking board and someone fucking gives you that little jab from behind, that is the scariest fucking feeling you will ever feel in your life.
Well, especially he's the fastest guy in the league.
Yeah.
So imagine how fast he's headed in there.
Fuck yeah. And I just go on. And for him to come out of there, and not only that, you worry about the head injury first and foremost, because this could paralyze a fucking guy. I always worry about that as younger kids.
Sure.
I said, I tell my guys, do not hit the fucking guys from behind, please. Don't do that, because it scares me.
Well, when the back's to you the entire time.
But it was on this play, but he turns. And I'm watching his fucking legs, and I'm fucking, he's like, he didn't blow a fucking wheel on her knee out in that one.
Oh, he could have gotten hurt.
It was
ugly.
The scary part with that is both players are moving in the same direction at a rapid pace. So all you're doing is your force with your speed coupled with the push and his own momentum. Like, there's no adjusting in time there.
Oh, fuck. You're done.
Like, you're going.
You're done.
Fucking front teeth into the boards there, and that's all there is to it.
Scary shit, man.
But I guess the most surprising thing of that is nobody did anything.
No.
One guy came kind of skating in, pushed and shoved, and that was it.
And that team, if you want to go back to any, the closest thing you're going to get to going back 15 years, is that fucking hockey team. You got Lucic there, Cassin's there, Nurse on fucking – they do their fighting. That's the team that does it. And
they're not doing it for him.
Fucking, this is the best player in the world. I go, what are you doing?
Like, we just criticized Bortuzzo, right? He just did it for Oscar Sundquist.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you not do it for Connor McDavid?
And I'm not the smartest guy in the fucking world, but I'll tell you what, if I'm one of those guys – I'm hooking my sleigh to Mr. McDavid, and I'll go fucking through a wall for him. I'll fight anyone in the bar for him just so ownership knows that I'm fucking with that guy.
Yeah, Gino Ogic did that for Pavel Bure, made a damn good career for himself.
Fuck yeah.
So, but that's a problem for me.
Exactly.
And you know, Hitch, as much as he's evolved, he's still got the old school, those guys would already be gone, or wouldn't be playing them. And he tried to call Brodziak, Cassian, and Lucic his identity line, and they were playing that way, and they were playing rugged. How do you let that happen on your watch?
Crazy.
How does Hitchcock not get involved in there?
He is, but
in the middle of the game.
The thing that bothers me the most about it is the chicken shit fucking league that's doing this. But they haven't done it for Sid either. So you watch Sid. he's played many years in Pittsburgh without fucking nobody. Yeah. And they've done it to him for the longest time. And you watch this, and I'll tell you what, that's why I respect the man a lot. Not only how talented he is, but he takes a lot of shit Crosby has in his time. And he keeps fighting back, but he's never had really no one there to fucking protect his ass. You know, you can go to the start of it where there's been a few guys.
Well,
there.
He did, and they got rid of him.
But and then they brought Reeves
and they
in
never
there,
played
and they
him.
Got rid of him. But they've never taken care of their fucking super. Like, these are the guys that carried the mantle, man.
And these are guys, like, you talk about McDavid. Everybody wants to talk about as the best player in the world and this and that. I'm not disagreeing. But you talk about Sidney Crosby being the best player in the world. So, yes. Listen, he's had to deal with that for how many years, all that yeah. bullshit. We're just seeing this as, what, McDavid's third or fourth year correct. In the league?
Yeah.
And we're seeing it
yeah.
now. Sid's been dealing with it his whole career.
Yeah.
So, imagine, like, what McDavid is going to have to do to survive like Sid has.
Isn't the great one part of the thing out there though? Isn't Gretz part
in Edmonton?
Of Edmonton?
Yeah, he's.
I can't see him letting the.
I don't know. He's got a job with the Oilers, the NHL. Yeah. He's doing all sorts of stuff. But yes, I mean, I think if you ask Gretz, well, look at you talk about hitching your sled to something, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Marty McSorley.
Yeah, he's fuck yeah.
Gretzky wouldn't leave Edmonton without McSorley.
Yeah, Dave Semenko was there too for a while. You know,
but Marty was his guy.
Marty was his guy.
So he wouldn't yeah. leave Edmonton without Marty.
Yeah.
And that was part of the deal.
Correct.
So if I'm Zach Kassian
yep.
or Lucic, who everybody's shitting on right now anyways,
yep.
or have been, I'm hitching my sled to fuck McDavid.
In a heart.
If I'm Kyle Brodziak on a one-year deal or two-year deal, like, I'm hitching my sled to fucking yep. Connor McDavid.
But then you know what, though? You shouldn't even have to hitch your sled. You it should be fucking respect to the game. Because back, you know, that's the way it was. You took care of the fucking ones that carried the fucking game for you. And it used to be the guys, you know, back when Gretzky and Lemieux, these guys go through the process, and Crosby's got it, Ovechkin's got it. You always took care of those guys. And they're really not they didn't take care of Sid too much. Ovi takes care of himself, basically, for the most part, because he's a big fucker. But now you got Connor McDavid. You're going to, you know, you got this guy coming. Look at the Hughes kid that just played for the USA.
Oh, my
he's
God.
He's a small little fucker. So he's sitting there. Keller out in Arizona, who's a pretty good damn hockey player. You know, these are smaller fucking individuals, and if you're not going to have something there, ay.
All the defensemen cleared. Aye. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
So that. But when I was coming here, too, I was going to say that. So if the fucking Blues, if I'm the Blues right now and I'm still one, I'd probably go down there and start, make sure, hey, keep fucking losing, because I like the Hughes kid, because, God, he was a good little hockey player. I liked him.
It's still you're throwing.
I know. You know, I enjoyed watching.
It's not like you're guaranteed anymore. Like, back in the day, the losing or the tanking gave you a guarantee.
Yeah.
Now it gives you better odds, but you look at the last couple of years, a team that was last place and didn't get first pick.
That's a good fucking hockey player, though.
That's a really good hockey player.
Hockey changes the everything changes when he's on the ice.
Now, I think he's a couple years away.
Oh, for sure. No,
because I think if you threw him on the ice in the NHL right now,
yeah,
he'd probably get hurt.
Yeah.
Now, you'd be a lot like that Elias Pettersson kid in Vancouver.
Exactly.
There would be flashes of fucking greatness,
yeah.
but there would be injuries that came with it.
I agree with you.
So, all right, guys. I don't know. Chromes, you got anything else?
No, good stuff. I want to thank, all the fans for a great year last year, obviously. And this is the first time, you know, we're together. You
oh, yeah.
The mail there last week when me and Kimby were gone. So, good stuff.
I guess we got the Blues are playing, what, Flyers tonight?
Yeah,
maybe talk
at
about
Flyers.
That. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean,
maybe talk about it next time. All right.
I was going to say, what are you going to say?
I got nothing. Maybe we covered everything. Yeah.
You know,
go Blues.
Yeah, let's go Blues. Hey, I want to thank you all. Don't forget to check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. So subscribe to the show there. It's absolutely free. Find us on social media at STL Blues Podcast on Twitter. If you follow us, we're going to follow you back if you're a Blues fan. Facebook, you can follow us as well, Blues NHL Podcast. Like our page. Click invite your friends. Make sure when you see the pinned post that you like it, comment on it, and then once you've shared it, you're eligible for some wonderful prizes thanks to our good friend Jamie Rivers and SynergyHockeySkills.com, one of our great partners. Got through the holidays, Jamie. Got much coming up. Just normal sessions.
We got lessons starting up again. These small group sessions where we have two players per one coach. Get a lot of stuff done. It's almost like private lessons. That's up on the website going right now. So go to SynergyHockeySkills.com, small group lessons, and register there. Spots are going quickly. Sundays are already sold out, so you have to pick a morning. Got to get bright and early.
Bright and early. That's the amateur hockey life. Speaking of that, NelsonLandServices.com, our good friends and Nelson family. Five-star locally rated landscaping company with reasonable prices and quality work. You get to see your boys out at the rink, the Nelson family, over the holidays?
No, I don't think I did. I talked to him on the phone in the last couple of days.
A holiday drink was in order, I'm sure. But
yeah, but I was gone though. I was up in Nashville. I was on I was on the go all the time.
Well, great family, and again, all they've asked is for us to make sure that you guys give them an opportunity for your business. That's NelsonLandServices.com. I was craving some barbecue over the holidays, and I know you guys were as well. Tons of orders I saw going out for Adam's Smokehouse, and we want to thank them for their support. Tremendous barbecue located on Watson Road here in St. Louis. You got a lot of places you can choose from barbecue-wise. I know a lot of people think Memphis or places like that, Kansas City. Let me tell you something, folks. Adam's Smokehouse. Get over there. Check it out. You guys are going to enjoy it. Tell Mike we said hello. Never sent anybody there. They're affiliated with a couple different shows here. Never had anybody say, I got to tell you, I wasn't impressed. Every time somebody goes, they send us pictures. Great stuff, as always. Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com. Don't forget, residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's got you covered. They got the plumbing team up and running now, for those of you that fall into the need for in that category, of course. Yeah, speak of the devil. Don't forget construction, heating and cooling, which is always an issue, and, of course, electrical team, all working underneath that umbrella for Randy Green. 35 years experienced. Second-generation craftsman, tremendous human being. Shakes your hand, folks. You can feel confident the job's going to get done and get done right. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Again, can't thank the fellas enough for coming in. I don't think after the Twitter exchanges that went on yesterday that Mr. Rivers disappointed today as the shot collar come off. It sure opened up.
I think it did.
Sure did.
I mean, I didn't sit here and just motherfuck people, but I think it was constructive.
That doesn't do any good.
I think it was educational.
People want that sometimes, but I always tell them, that doesn't do any good.
No, we've been doing a lot this year, so.
Yeah, so anyway, good stuff as always. Boys, Kimby, you're just in today, I guess. You out of town this weekend?
No. No? I'm not out of town this weekend.
Just working on Thursday?
Working on Thursday. Yeah, I've got Colorado here shortly, but not this weekend.
No. High school team, how you doing?
Got a big game tonight with Triad, so we'll play Triad. They're right below us in the standing, so we'll see. My boys had a little conditioning episode to go the other day. Things weren't going well in practice.
Oh, so they get a little bag skate?
Got a little bag skate going, and got a few words they probably didn't learn in school, like throwing at them. So we'll see how they respond to that. I don't care how much talent you got, but I need you to work. And as long as you work, I will always be happy, but you got to work.
Yeah, my son played with some of those boys that I see on there. How's that gang doing? The Roar and Maxfield, Parker?
Yeah, Hunter had a little infection go on with this. He got bit by a little spider possibly, and he got infected. So he was having a little trouble with his leg. So he probably won't play for us tonight, but the other guys are they're doing well. They're doing well, so we'll get there.
Good stuff.
Senior night tonight, so we'll see a couple seniors are going to move on the path.
Senior citizen? Guy behind the bench?
So where are your boys going to go to high school? They're not in high school yet, right?
Yeah, they're freshmen.
Oh, where do they go?
At Francis Howell Central.
Do they have hockey there?
Yeah, they do.
Are they playing high school hockey, or are they just playing?
Negative.
Are they ever going to play high school hockey?
I don't know. I kind of threw it out there for them this year. I said, if you guys want to. And now we practice three times a week. And now my one boy plays at the U16 level. They practice three times a week, and they're on the road or playing games almost every weekend. So, if you really expect your kid to play high school hockey too and then maintain good grades and all this stuff, I don't know. It's a lot on his plate. I let them decide. They said that this year just wasn't the right fit. They probably, if they would have played that team, actually that team's playing pretty well this year. Probably would have had a really good team, but, my aunt had ball, she'd be my uncle, right, Kimby?
Yes.
Her last name would be Kimball.
I tell you what, though. I do.
You could probably move to GC. I'm sure GC would take him with open arms, wouldn't he, Kimby?
My kid, Kimby, I don't know. He loves high school. We get kids from high school that come to the games,
sure,
and friends of his, and they watch it.
That's part of the whole deal.
That's what they like.
Yeah.
And because when you're playing on the travel team, it's usually family that's there watching you all the time, on the road all the time. Yeah.
Saying is Lawson likes the girls.
Never.
Hey, like the girls, come watch him play.
Girls.
I've had this argument. And he knows who he is. I've had this argument with the soccer people forever. You're never going to convince me telling these kids they can't play high school soccer is not the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the dumbest thing. I've had this argument with people to say, Jim, you don't know what you're talking about. My kid went and played at a national. And I'm like, yeah, and who fucking watched him? You?
If you think that
high school experience of your classmates coming out and watching and going,
there's sacrifices. Get out of here with that. I had to make sacrifices too, though, when I was going through it. It's each person's
different.
Complete
another level.
No, but what I'm saying is when you're playing, back when we were younger, I'm moving away from home and I'm playing on a with 20-year-olds and that at 15 years old. So it's a different animal, you know, and as what Rivs is saying, you know, once you go to the juniors, you're on the ice every fucking day. You know, it's a total different. And we're doing that at 15, 16 years old. So, you know, they're going Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you're on a path where you're trying to do the best in hockey that you're ever going to do. And it might not be the National Hockey League or anything like that, but you're trying to become the best player that you can be. And, you know, I always will believe that you surround yourself with good hockey talent. You have to play to their level. And I'm not saying high school, but high school is a different animal. It's friendships. You still fight for everybody. You do. I love my high school. Even in other sports that I played, I love playing those sports with my friends back in my high school. But if you're trying to carve a path in a certain area, those things got to go by the wayside.
Yeah,
sometimes.
But when you went there, you got your fix from the crowds.
Yeah, but I'm just telling
you. Weren't just playing in front of mommy and daddy that told you how good you were
but
after
I'm
the
only
games,
going
my
twice
point.
A week now. Was no, but my point is I'm only going twice a week. We're traveling out of town all the fucking time. You know, you're running every night of the week.
Yeah.
The thing I get worried about with a 14-year-old kid, even though he loves to go to high school, you're going to burn yourself fucking out at some point. Yeah. Time. And, you know, hockey's a fucking demanding sport that you're going all the time. I love that you play in front of your friends, but. You know, you put the two and two together, it becomes an animal, man.
Well, and you risk injury, too, right? Yeah. Like, after a while, these kids get worked down. It's cold and flu season. No joke there. I mean, Kids get run down, and then they have groins or shoulders or something that happens, and you get somebody in, either you're playing your AAA team, your club team, or you're playing high school. Somebody gives you a good hit, and you're injured. Now, you can't play for the other team, and it's just, I don't know. There's pros and cons.
There is. I wish it was simple to go everywhere. I would love my kid to play high school right through the thing, but he might not. It's next year, if he plays with Carshield, he's on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday practices. You're on the go all the time. Plus, school is the most important thing on that list. So, you know, because that's going to dictate, or you'll be sitting here doing podcasts all your damn life. You know what I mean?
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Not that he would be bad at that. He'd be great at it. However,
opposite of what I did in my life.
You know, we may have to have him in sometime. No, maybe he can tell us some good dads.
We'll get all our boys in here one day. That'll be a damn treat.
He's just like his mom, so that ain't going to happen.
I think that would be a great show. You guys bring your boys in here.
Oh, boy. I don't know if the world's ready for those three.
I tell you what. In fact, you two can stay home. I'll ask them the questions. We'll get some real facts about what goes on.
My kids, and I'm sure Lawson's the same way, my kids will say it right in front of you. Yeah. Right in front of me. Exactly. Yeah, they'll be like, oh, my dad's like this, or he's like this.
Well, good stuff, fellas. Thank you. I know our fans are going to enjoy this show. Again, we'll be back on Thursday. I couldn't even venture to say what the topics will be on Thursday, but as we inch ever so much closer to trade deadline, when is trade deadline?
March sometime.
Is it that far off?
No, it's February.
It's February. It's March.
They bumped it up because they wanted to eliminate those throw-offs, right? So they want to make teams now, when you trade for a guy, you actually have to use them. You're not just...
I got you.
So I think it's like February... I don't know. I was going to say February 29th, but...
That only happens once in a blue moon, doesn't it?
That'd be only once every 4 years you can make a deal.
Yeah.
Huh. NHL.
You can't pull that up, Comer?
No, I'm trying.
Google doesn't work under NHL trade deadline?
The train ride got his fingers a little fat. No, you can't punch the keys quick enough.
You would think that would have popped right up.
It should have, but I don't know. February 25th. That's okay. My phone works. It's all right. February 25th.
Put your head out of the caboose.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it much. Look forward to chatting on Thursday. I'm assuming, unless you feel froggy, I'll hear from you on the phone, Mr. Rivers. But you've been making the trek over twice a week. You must like our little town here.
Well, what I figured out is that the drive, the hour-long drive it takes me, I actually get a bunch of phone calls and shit caught up on. So it's turned into an advantage for me because I get more shit done because then, you know, I'm making these calls. So
he's looking for a real estate
Bluetooth,
agent.
Of course. He's
a real estate agent. He's trying to move over here.
Well, we got him covered there.
Don't do it.
Taxes, I've seen some of the shacks around here. I'll tell you what.
Taxes, man. Don't
shacks.
Do it.
They got some serious fucking houses.
There's a pile of bricks around here.
Holy shit.
Above their means.
Huh?
No, Kimby will take it. Hey, you move on to GC and play for Kimby.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine that shit show?
Woo. It'd be good. Jacob Myers would love it. You two boys down at Jake's with the fellas. That'd be good stuff.
Oh, boy.
Well, hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us. This is your Off-Ice Fist with Jim Cromer. I'll have the fellas back in studio next week. But again, hopefully to hear from Mr. Rivers, whether he's in studio or on the phone on Thursday. Check us out, lineupmedia.fm, home of Yo Radio. Don't forget, as I leave you, to download that free on your mobile device. I can't say nothing more than let's go Blues.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.